In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. As we are now on the fourth Sunday in Lent, it has a wonderful name. It's Latin, Laetare. There's lots of ways you can pronounce it. That's just the way I'm doing it today, which is the Latin word for rejoice. So we find ourselves in the midst of this season of Lent with this day where the mood is lightened. In some cases, the vestments would be lightened in color. Yes, I see shaking heads over here. We're working on things. But for us, it's a good time to remember that in the midst of all things, God is present. Amen? Now, as tempting as it is to lead you through a very in-depth and detailed study of the gospel today, I'm not going to do it. I know. You're welcome. I noticed when I looked in my Bible, I have done that before, but it wasn't here. But the good news is, we're going to look at what Paul has to say, because shockingly, he says it in much fewer words than we're used to. So in verse 8, he says, "For once you were in darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light." Now, this should matter to us, most especially as Christians, but also as members of this particular congregation. See, we are transforming lives. See, this is who we are. We are gaining His light so that we can be a light to the world. This is the concept of being a follower of Jesus Christ. This is what we are called to in all of the things we are asked to do. We are called to first and foremost remember that we are children of the light. We should live as children of the light. And we tend to struggle in it, I know. Not you, me. But what more does he say? "For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true." Okay. That's where the fruit of the light is found, in all that is good and right and true. But we often go looking for the things that aren't necessarily good or right or true. We are fairly easily distracted. We seem to thrive these days, maybe it's always been this way, it's just bothering me more today, on all the things that are not necessarily good, right, or true. And we do it in big ways and we do it in little ways. Here's a little way that this happens. You're driving down I-75. Traffic comes to a stop. You cannot even see where it's going to be. Your Google Maps is now a red line from wherever you are to just past your destination. And you are 10, 15, 20, 30 miles away. And you putt along. And you finally get up to the spot. Three lanes of traffic, or more, if somebody decides the emergency lane is a traffic lane, and they will. And as you're driving along, you're thinking something catastrophic has definitely happened ahead of you. And you, after all this time, you discover it happened all the way on the other side of the interstate. We are so obsessed with darkness, brothers and sisters, we are stopping traffic to look and see what happened. We are drawn to it. NASCAR, anybody? Oh, come on, we like a good accident. Thank God for YouTube. We can just watch the accidents. Hockey, occasionally they hit a puck. Often they're hitting each other. Man, you want to see hockey fans get on their feet? The things people will say, my goodness, in public when that happens, about other people. Whew. Startling. Mild-mannered people, too. There's something in us that's a little bit dark, amen? And we go looking sometimes for someone to feed that darkness with us. I'm not sure what it does for us yet. That's somebody's got to do a study on it, maybe brain chemistry or something. But it must do something dramatic because, boy, we find ourselves just craving it, don't we? But the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Verse 10, he says, try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. That already sounds like it's not fun. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. See, take no part in it. Yeah, next time somebody's in an accident 200 yards away from you, going the other direction, keep looking straight, please. I'm begging you, look straight. And keep moving. When someone is getting turned upside down in the midst of the darkness of the world, be the light in the midst of that darkness. Don't join it. That's not who we are. We were once darkness, but now in the Lord, you are light. Live as children of the light. And we struggle in it. See, we turn to the good. Now, when you do this too much, people think you're naive. They think it's this sort of Pollyanna syndrome. They have another word for it. Positivity bias. You know, that person who every time something's going messy and you want to just be messy, and they're all like, I'm trusting God in this. And you're like, really? In this? Because sometimes we just want to sit in the darkness. But we're children of the light. And that's why we end up in conflict. How do we continue to grab a hold of it? Because people, if you do it too much, people just think you've lost your mind. I find myself in this struggle, same as everyone else. But I also find myself on the other side of the struggle, where I can be in a room with people and they're just going on and on and on and on and on about the darkness of the world. Solid, faithful people, and nobody's saying anything about Jesus. Now let me just say this, if you want to end the conversation, bring in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That will shut it down. Immediately, as it should. See, that's what happens when you bring light into darkness. The darkness of this world is going to be. If you haven't read the book yet, I highly recommend it. If you go to the back, check it out. There's going to be some darkness. There is always going to be some darkness up until Jesus comes again and we are in his kingdom. The question is, how are we going to behave in the darkness? Are we going to be the light? Are we going to get on board with the darkness and join it? I see far too many of us struggling with it and losing the battle. And we need to be standing firm as the children of light. Having that position, by the way, will have people thinking you're naive. They'll think you have some sort of syndrome. Whether it be Pollyanna or positivity, they'll think there's something wrong with you. Brothers and sisters, there's absolutely nothing wrong. Because we know in the church that God is good. And all the time,
God is good.
Pretty simple stuff. Does that mean everything that's happening around us is good? No, it does not. But it doesn't take away the goodness of God. He is always good. If we are in a moment that doesn't look good and we do not see God, it isn't because he's missing, it's because we're looking at the dark instead of the light. And we need to choose the light, amen? If we keep getting drawn down by the things of this world and what we hear from the internet or the news or wherever you get your information, just raise your hand if you think you can get 100% factual information anywhere about anything that happens in this world. Okay, then it's settled. Brothers and sisters, what we know is that that is not truth. We are not getting the full truth. It doesn't matter where you look. I don't care. Try an experiment sometime. Take anything that is happening in the world and look at about 8 different places. And if you really want some fun, just go out and randomly on the internet, because somebody's going to recreate things. And it's startling. I'm going to be very honest, and my wife can verify this. There are times I'm looking at what's going on, and I see this is being reported this way, this one's reporting it this way. That's not a judgment on side, maybe it is. But the fact of the matter is, it's like two different stories of the same event. And we just decide which one we like more. The difference between those who keep choosing which one they like more, they tend to still be choosing darkness, I don't care what it is, because the light is standing in the middle where Jesus is. And we could just choose that, because that's who we are. And we can go ahead and live that, because that is what we're called to. That is what Paul is reminding the church of today. He goes, for it exposes the darkness in verse 11. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. If we are tripped up into darkness, if we are just going to join one side or another, knowing full well neither side is reflecting our understanding of the light of Christ, we have chosen wrong. We have to stand where God is standing. We need to stand in the power of the Holy Spirit and reflect the light of Christ to the darkness, and then it goes away. That's how you can shut down a room, by bringing Jesus into the conversation. It works every single time. I have done it on more than one occasion. Now everybody stays real quiet. And then at some point, I get a text message or somebody sneaks over to me and says, hey, thanks for saying that. And all I can think of is, you know, we could all say it, and that might change the world. It might transform if those who are leading the life transformed are out there looking like it. We may see a difference. Is it going to stop everything that's happening? Probably not. Will it make a difference in how we get through it? Yes, it will. See, we're confused. I'm pretty sure everyone here remembers the psalm from today. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what we hear. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I agree with that. But there's another thing, right? What we tend to, we don't fear the evil, we fear getting caught being the light, I think, is the problem. But the reality is, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, as I mentioned in the earlier service, it has to be really late in the day for me to cast a big shadow. Well, a long one, a wide one I can do anytime. But the fact of the matter is, it's a shadow. Now, I don't know if you've had this happen with a child, or maybe you've done it when a child first realizes they have a shadow. And then somebody else, another child, sees it, and they come over and they step on their shadow, and they're like, oh, like it's going to hurt them. Anybody had that experience? Just me. We didn't have a lot of video games when I was a kid. We were outside. And then it becomes a game. Don't let other people shadow tag. Is that what they called it? Amen. There it is. It's all in here somewhere. The organizer's a little slow. And the goal is, don't let them step on your shadow. But there's times a child, a very young child, may actually have this real fear that if somebody steps on their shadow, it's going to hurt them. And if you've ever seen that, it's hysterical. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, death is just a shadow. See, because through Jesus Christ we have life, and we have life abundantly and eternal. In our own burial rite, it says that life has changed, not ended. We act like our shadow is going to wound our mortal body when we walk in this world. We are so afraid that we might get exposed for being Christian, we don't say anything and we sit quietly and go along with everything. Sometimes we get so involved in it, we become part of the darkness. we get on board with it. Because if we stand in the light, somebody's going to think that we're naive or foolish or brain damaged in some way. I don't know. But they get nervous around it. And what I'm saying is, we stand and do as Paul is saying. We could walk as children in the light. Amen? And when we do that, the darkness will go away. If the sun is out and bright and above our head, there's no shadow. The only way we can overcome the darkness is if we bring the light. And it's going to happen in the moment. Will there be more darkness after that? Yes. But the one thing we're never going to run out of is the light of Christ. The darkness of evil will fade. It is his promise. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Verse 14 says, "For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So I think the real struggle is we're getting lulled to sleep. We hear so much. We are bombarded constantly with what's going on in the world. We all just agreed a moment ago that nobody's telling us anything that's 100% accurate. Amen? But man, we are going to take that story, and we are going to run with it, and we build our lives around it, and we forget that we're children of the light. And the darkness continues to grow. Families continue to pull apart. Communities break away because we're in disagreement. No kidding. I've said it 100 times, I'll say it 100 more. Almost 35 years I've lived with that woman over there. I have yet to come to full agreement with her. And she for sure has not been in full agreement with me. Amen. Thanks be to God. Man, we would be in so much trouble. And yeah, we give God the glory for that. We're different. Okay. One place we're alike is we are children of the light. And we can walk in that. We can own that. When you get so caught up and your whole world is churning at the depth of your soul, now hear this. I want you to go all the way to the beginning. And God spoke over chaos. Do you remember it? What followed? Peace. And there was light. Thank you, Father. When you are in chaos at the depth of your soul, go to the light. Not that one. Go to his light. Every time you find yourself so torn up you can't think straight. Every time you just can't understand what you see or what you hear, I'm going to tell you 2 things. Turn off whatever's feeding you the information. And turn to Jesus. Anytime you walk into a situation and that's what's happening, let's stop for a second and see what God has to say. Yes, there will be suffering. But if you're in my study on Thursday, you'll know that you'll very soon be tossing down your golden crowns along the glassy sea. The faithful remnant, the people who remembered that Jesus is the light, are the ones that will continue to stand. It's not supposed to be easy. But I can tell you this. It can be filled with joy. And in that, brothers and sisters, we can rejoice. So no matter what the situation, no matter what the struggle, all of it is real, all of it is felt, much of it is painful. But the goodness of God remains. And we know that because God is good. And all the time.